There's a famous painting in St. Paul's Cathedral in London by a man called Holman Hunt. I remember a few years ago standing in St. Paul's. What an amazing structure it is. But I didn't get to see this particular painting. It's a painting based on Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, the verse that we have read already today. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. So there it is in St. Paul's Cathedral, and this painting by this man, Hunt, and these words from Holy Scripture, the words of Christ at the bottom of the painting, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Some of you perhaps have been to St. Paul's as well. Maybe you've gone one better than I have and you've actually seen the painting. It is a painting of the Lord Jesus standing at a doorway. Standing at a door. The door has weeds that are overgrown. They're growing up around the door. The hinges of the door are rusted. It's been so long since the door was opened. And there's the Savior standing at the door. And he's knocking on the door, seeking admission. Mr. Hunt, the artist who painted it, he said that the purpose of painting the picture, this is his own words now, he said that he painted the picture with what he thought was a divine command and not simply as a good subject to paint. He believed that the Lord was commanding him and leading him to paint this masterpiece. He painted it in old age. He was an elderly man when he painted it. It was one of the last paintings that he ever did. Don't be discouraged. You can achieve great things in old age. You elderly believers today, the devil's probably telling you your days are finished, your days are numbered, you're no good to anybody. Oh, don't listen to him, for he's a liar. Problem is, too many people believe his lies today. Swallow them hook, line, and sinker. You can do great things in old age. Moses was 80 whenever the Lord said, "You go and lead my people out of Egypt." Caleb, similar age. God had a work for him to do. Enter into Canaan. Caleb, you leave the giants to me. It's good to do that, folks. Whatever age you are, don't take on the giants yourself. Leave them to Christ. He'll bring them down. Oh, he's a great giant killer. The best in the business. But the painting was painted when Mr. Hunt was an elderly gentleman. His eyesight was failing, and so he was helped by a pupil named Edward Hughes. Another gentleman by the name of Booth, a wealthy ship owner, was a great follower of Mr. Hunt's work. He loved to follow his paintings. And by the way, Holman Hunt not only painted the picture of Christ at the doorway that's in St. Paul's Cathedral today, he painted other biblical works as well. The scapegoat, it's another good one. I was looking at it yesterday. Remember Leviticus, the Day of Atonement? The goat, one of the goats was slaughtered. Its blood was shed to atone for the sins of the people. The other goat, there's a second goat called the scapegoat. And it was let loose, as we would say, away in the back of nowhere. And carried the sins of the people away forever. Rejoice, child of God, by the way, because your sins have been carried away forever. Oh, they're gone. There's Brother John down there. What's our brother's saying? Forgiven, forgotten, forever. The three F's. May as we come to the table today, we can rejoice. Because our sins are forgiven, forgotten, forever. Hallelujah. We can celebrate. You poor souls who are not right with God, boy, you don't know what you're missing. The joy that you're missing out on. Oh yes, being a Christian is hard. I can vouch for that. You'll experience opposition that you never dreamed you'd experience. As you seek to live for God and serve the Lord, boy, the devil will come after you. And I remember old brother Fred Harris in Enniskillen. Some of you will remember Fred, or Freddy, I think they called him. He said, the devil will follow you to the gates of heaven. Follow you to the gates of heaven. But there's joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Scapegoat. He painted the scapegoat, and he painted other works about. He painted another masterpiece when about the Lord Jesus as a boy of 12 going to the temple. And you remember that Mary and Joseph lost him. Tell me this: have you lost him? You lose Jesus. It's a big loss. You lose your health. It's not nice. Not good. You lose your wealth. That's not nice or good either. But if you lose him, that's the worst, that's the biggest loss of all. Painted many, many different painting based on scripture. I don't know, maybe we'll preach on some of the other paintings someday. But back to that man Booth, the wealthy man. I mentioned earlier he followed Mr. Hunt in his paintings and admired his work. This man, Booth, organized for Hunt's painting to travel around the world, to be taken around the world where it would be seen by many people. Do you know how many people, in fact, seen the painting worldwide? 2 million. 2 million people around the world went to view this painting. While the painting was in Australia, estimates or reports stated that it was viewed by 100 people every minute. A lot of people came to see it. Came to see the Saviour standing at the door, knocking on the door. Booth donated the painting to the cathedral In 1907, after it had travelled all around the world, he donated it to St. Paul's Cathedral, and it has hung there ever since. The only time that it wasn't hanging in St. Paul's Cathedral was during World War II, when it was removed for its own protection. But today, it's back in St. Paul's Cathedral, and it's enclosed in a fireproof box. So if there's ever a fire in St. Paul's Cathedral, Holman Hunt's painting will be safe. The Lord will still be standing at the door, knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Oh, that's the promise of the Saviour today. You know, there are some interesting aspects to that painting in St. Paul's Cathedral. The Saviour's feet are of interest. If if you ever get to visit St. Paul's Cathedral in the future, and if you ever get to see this painting, or maybe if you've already been to St. Paul's and you've seen this painting, maybe you remember that there's something unusual about the feet of Jesus in that painting. You know what it is? The feet are facing sideways to the door. Sideways. What does that tell us? He's about to walk away. About to walk away. He's about to leave. He's about to stop knocking at the door. No more. You never hear it again. No more. Time's up. He's moving on. Moving on to another door. If you're not a believer today, beware lest the Lord Jesus leaves your heart's door and moves on. He's got other people to save. Don't keep him knocking at your heart's door too long, because you might leave it until it's too late. Let him in today. Oh, he'll come in. He'll turn your life around. Oh, but my life's a mess. My life is a complete shambles. Is that what you're saying today? Good. That's what I say. Good. Because Jesus takes a mess. He turns it into a message. He takes a victim. He turns them into a victor. Jesus will come into your life today if you open the door. And he will give you something worth living for. So the Lord Jesus, he stands at the door of your heart today. But I want to tell you that his feet are pointing sideways. He's getting ready to move on. And when he stops knocking, and when he moves on, you'll not be able to be saved any longer. Something else. You'll not want to be saved any longer. I've had people come to me and they've said, "Oh, Jonathan, I think I've committed the unpardonable sin. I don't think I can be saved. I've said no too often." Well, whenever I see the look of concern on their face, I know they haven't committed the unpardonable sin, because the person who has committed it and the person who has caused Jesus to leave their heart's door is the person who shrugs their shoulders and whistles and has a big smile on their face. The person who never darkens the door of the church. The person who has no interest. I tell you, folks, I've seen them come and go. Well, I've seen many of them. It's happened to many a person. So if you're concerned today, don't you let the old devil say there's no hope for you, that you're too late. Don't believe him. You're not too late. We're still in the day of grace. You can be saved today. Come to the Savior. Listen as he knocks. Open the door. Let him in. You'll never regret it. Come to the prayer meeting on Thursday night. Join with us. We're having good times. The Lord's here. Maybe you've already asked the Savior into your life. You've received him in recent times. Tell us, let us know. Or if you're a wee bit bashful and backward like me, just you turn up on Thursday night. Come on in. There's plenty of room for you here. You'll not have to pray. Nobody's forced to do anything about here. Some people come and they pray and cry to God outwardly, and it's lovely, it's music to my ears. And there's people who pray silently, you don't hear them. Quiet the whole time, but boy, I'm glad they're here. Why don't you join them? The feet of the Savior, most interesting. But then in Holman Hunt's picture, his painting, it's nighttime. The Lord Jesus has been standing at the door all day, and it's dark now. And the day is almost over, and time's running out to open the door. It's nighttime. It's nighttime in this world. It's dark in this world. You wonder sometimes, can it get any darker? Evildoers in Westminster during the week, voting for the murder of little unborn Ulster babies. Only 89 people voted against it. I tell you, that's dark. That's dark. But then again, if revival comes, nobody's going to want these regulations. And those big knobs at Westminster, boy, they're going to be boiling with rage. And all the leftists who are trying to impose on Northern Ireland the worst abortion regime in Europe, boy, they're going to be seething if the Lord sends revival to Ulster. Or maybe I should say when. Because I believe it's coming. It's on the way. Oh, the devil won't know what has hit him. Good times ahead, folks. The Lord's going to revive his church. Before he comes, in the midst of the darkness, there's going to be revival. Hallelujah. You get that sense on a Thursday night. Glory to God. We who meet here on a Thursday night, we're sensing that something's on the way. Something big's on the way. And hallelujah, there's other places across the land, and they're crying to God in prayer meetings. And they can sense it too. It is coming. We believe it. You get ready for it. You turn to the Lord today so that you can enjoy the revival when it comes. But then, you know, after the revival, then the Lord will say, that's it. It's all over, folks. Time to take my people home. We'll come on to it next Sunday, by the way, as we move into chapter 4 of Revelation. John hears the voice from heaven, come up hither, come up higher, John. And John's caught up. It's a picture of the rapture. The church age is over, 7 churches, all done. The age of grace, the day of grace is finished. Nobody can be saved anymore, too late. But the people of God have been taken home to hear the well done, thou good and faithful servant. Boy, that'll make up for all the hardships we've had during earthly life, won't it? Let me leave something else with you, share something else about that famous painting about our Saviour at the door. You know, there was a man who came to Holman Hunt after he had completed his masterpiece, and he said, excuse me, sir, I think you've made a mistake here. Mistake? I beg your pardon, sir. Would you like to elaborate? Oh, Mr. Hunt, look at the door. You forgot to put a handle on the door. Oh, did I? I'm sorry, sir. I didn't forget anything. I didn't paint the handle on the outside of the door because it's not on the outside, it's on the inside. No handle on the door. There was no mistake. You see, dear friend, the Lord Jesus knocks at your door today, the door of your life. He says, "May I come in?" Just as we were singing earlier, "May I come in?" The Lord Jesus isn't going to take a sledgehammer to the door of your life and hammer it down and barge his way in, because that's just not him. He doesn't do that. Now, some preachers and some evangelists have done that down through the years. But, you know, whenever a preacher or an evangelist tries to do the work of the Holy Spirit, he makes a complete mess of it. Nobody's ever truly saved that way. Oh, you might have numbers and hands up in the air and all the rest of it, but people aren't genuinely converted. We must leave the Holy Spirit to do his work. Yes, we do our work and what we can do, but dare we try to do his work? But oh, our Savior, the blessed Christ of God, he's the perfect gentleman, and he stands outside the door and he knocks. And he's not going to force his way in, but he waits for you to open the door from the inside. He wants you to put your hand on the handle and to open the door, open the latch. You've maybe got a snub at home. You know, when the door's on the snub and nobody can get in from the outside, only you can open the door and let them in. Well, there's a snub on the door of your heart today, on the door of your life. A night latch is not the technical term for it. Open the snub. Let Jesus in today. And he'll come in and he'll sup with you. You know, the ancient Greeks enjoyed three meals in the day. They would have a large breakfast, smaller lunch, and then they would have a leisurely evening meal with their family, and they would eat and they would talk and they would have fellowship. It was supper. It was a time for intimacy. That's what Jesus is referring to when he says, "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." There'll be intimacy, fellowship, communion. Oh, we're coming to communion today, the Lord's Supper. Jesus wants to spend time with us today. Why don't you trust him now and you stay with us at the table today? You don't have to trust him now and leave and say, "Oh, maybe in 6 months or a year I'll start going to communion." Not a bit of it. He invites you to come and be saved today. Open the door of your life right now and then stay and join us for the supper, for his supper. Who is it that's at your door today? Well, verse 14 there, it says, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. You see that phrase, the beginning, the creation of God? Do you know what it means? The Creator. The Creator. In case you thought, oh, there's what the Jehovah's Witnesses say, and they're right, that Jesus is a creature created. No, he's not. The phrase means the one who created everything. He's the Creator. Imagine having the Creator standing at the door of your heart. Well, you wouldn't want to turn him away, would you? Father, we are amazed that the Creator of the ends of the earth would come and stand at our heart's door. After all, Lord, what are we but worms of the dust, grasshoppers in your sight? Oh, the wonder of it all. Now, dear Lord, we pray for the Holy Spirit to do his precious work today, his indispensable work, that work of his for which there is no substitute. May the Spirit work even now and draw souls to the Saviour and cause them to open the door. Bless those who leave us just now, and for those who remain, for our precious time of communion, as we receive the emblems, Lord, make it a special time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.